God, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God speaks to us and has much to say about any and all of our activities in the church, out of the church, for you, for ourselves, for our families, for our country. Guide us in those things that we'd follow in your footsteps and give unto you the way you would want us to go. Forgive us where we fail. Cleanse us, make us holy as thou art holy. You said without holiness, no man will see God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We quoted the verse several times this morning, I think, and we had it in Sunday school. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. And realizing that and speaking about sacrifice, we do not disobey when God says we're to sacrifice. If you study the nation Israel, they had many things to say about the service of Thanksgiving. They had a special time. They would offer individuals special time for it. And what happened to the two brothers that begin here in Genesis? One was jealous of the other because God had more favor because he made the blood sacrifice. God has begun to speak to hearts long before Christ came to the cross, that nothing but the blood can wash away my sins. And of course, the jealousy led, and we've studied that in other verse in the New Testament, let no root of bitterness get in you, spring up in you. And that's what happened to Cain. I'm the older. He kind of reminds me of the brothers in the New Testament. The young brother got sassy and wanted to go off on his own. When he come back and his dad was happy he was back celebrating, well, the older brother didn't like seeing that, got jealous. But in this case, it led a step further. That's what sin will do. If you don't get rid of it initially, and you let it fester, you let it grow, you let the root of bitterness stay there, and it'll produce more sin in your life. And of course, he killed him. And then he had really had a lot to handle. And God told him about that. We want to talk about the good side of sacrifice, making a proper sacrifice. Usually going along with it, and we'll not discuss it today, is also fasting when we sacrifice. Maybe we'll do a sacrificial prayer. We'll do a sacrificial offering. So Abel practiced that sacrifice in point one. He brought the blood sacrifice. We find out he pleased God with that in Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock. Something we ought to notice while we're right there, anything we bring to God of our tithes and our offerings is supposed to be the first and the best to God. In Malachi, he tells us that. That nation was practicing tithing, but they were doing it, giving away the weakest sheep, the ones probably going to die anyway, and not giving the best. God says give the first and the best. So the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. God is pleased when we do that. And if we make a promise, people talk about, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give it, well, I'm going to give some of it to God. Be careful. we're told in Proverbs, it is better not to make a commitment than to make one and not keep it. I'll do this. Well, I didn't know. We'll get to the New Testament church on that subject in a few moments. So the Israelites was a nation of practicing sacrifice. In Exodus 24:5, even when they were moving from place to place, they sacrificed. And he sent young men, the leader here, of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. They would have their cattle and moving on, but they did not forget their God. We don't forget our God. We don't forget our church. We don't forget to pray when we're away from home, when we're traveling. We still have a commitment to God, as we read in the Psalm. I'm going to obey you, God. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to do what you want me to do. By the way, what is our definition of sacrifice? It's going above and beyond the normal things that you would do, that you thought you should do, to please God or to make some movement of God's work. But then count the cost. Jesus said in the New Testament, count the cost. When a man goes to war, he don't up and say, well, I'm going to war. I think we're in that right now. He said, you better count the cost first. See if you got enough in your army to defeat that. We're just seeing some of the stupid stuff that's going on with the more stupid government that we have, making commitments and I'm going to give you a little money if you'll shut up, behave, not fight, not fuss, not quarrel. Many people discipline their children that way. In Genesis 46:1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Scripture said he had all he had. He took it all. But he still was willing to take some and sacrifice. Well, one of these days, when I get it all made, I'm really going to do something for God. No, no, no. Do it now. Do it now. Jesus was very complimentary of the widow who came in and gave her two mites. He said she gave all she had. Gave all that she had. We sang that chorus. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll do what he wants me to do. I'll say what he wants me to say. Maybe we ought to fill an end to that and shut up before I say something I shouldn't say, right? We might get into that trap. In 1 Kings 3:2, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. They didn't matter. They'd make an altar. They'd make a sacrificial place of worship till they got a better place or a house built for God, which later Solomon would build a temple. We sometimes make excuses. We have air conditioned, we have heat, and it's too cold, it's too hot. We get beautiful buildings. We still can't find ourselves at peace with God and our worship. We find King David when he was traveling one time, and he had to make a sacrifice. He went to the man who owned the property, and he said, I want some of your animals to make a sacrifice. And the guy said, okay. And he said, and I will pay you for it. He said, no, no, I can't charge the king who wants to make a sacrifice. He said, it wouldn't be worship if I wouldn't sacrifice it. I'm going to give you the money. We'll give you something I could just throw away there and say, well, it didn't matter. It didn't cost me anything. Stop and think. What does your life with Christ cost you? You don't owe him anything. We don't owe God a thing. God's freely saved us. Sacrifice means going above and beyond that. Has it cost you anything? Does it cost us anything to be a Christian? I assure you it'll cost you. First thing it's going to cost you is some friends in life. It's going to cost you when you have a working party at Christmas time and they all want to have their booze. And you say, no, I can't do that. Okay, we don't need you. That sacrifice and being a Christian will cost you something. In 2 Samuel 24, 25, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. What had happened behind this story was David got to thinking about how many people he had. David was a man of war. He wanted to know how much army he had. And he was going to count and see, and God said, don't count. Don't count them. You take God and little as much of God's in it, folks. When you got God, God is all you need. And if God tells you to do something with what you got, you do with what you got, and God will see you have all you need. So David disobeyed. David counted anyway. So God sent a plague upon the nation. Here's the king of all of Israel. He's guilty of causing a plague upon his nation. And the people knew it. And so David made an altar and asked God to forgive him and sacrificed, and God stopped the plague. What does it take? What does it take out of your life? Does it take money? Does it take time? Does it take your friendship, your swallow, your pride? What does it take? Whatever it takes to make the sacrifice, it's worth it to God and eventually to you. The sacrifice to him. Think about Abraham, offered his own son. Tells us in Hebrews, when Abraham had that knife or big machete or whatever it was, and had his son tied on that offering or tied on that altar that he was going to set afire. The Bible says in Hebrews that David was really going to do it because he believed in God, and he believed if he plunged that knife into him that God would raise him up. He wasn't playing around with it. We play games with God. God don't play games. He had seen him. Listen to the son. And David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now Abraham offering his own son. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. The father's always with you. When you get to that place where you think, did I make the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? Is God pleased with this? Have you counted the cost, as we said again? And he said, here am I. I'm with you, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. One of the prophetic verses about Jesus Christ being our offering that God would provide. Think of it. Listen to me. Whatever you need, if you're following the best you know how, confessed up your sins in the will of God, God will provide whatever you need. We make excuses for things in our life that are failures, that were planned failures from the beginning. We waste time and money doing things that were not of God in our life. We need to make sure, and God will give us everything if we make a commitment to a sacrifice. God will provide that. God is a great God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. He's not limited. But we got to be wise in a decision and then follow through with the sacrifice. I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. Oh, someday. No, no. Don't even say that. That'll get you more trouble. The church sacrificed. The first church. They were going. Revival was happening. Things was going together. And it tells us about it. And we know Ananias and Sapphira. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Acts 4:34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, them they sold the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet." We've been studying in our Wednesday night and Sunday night how that when the Jews started getting saved, their families would kick them out. There were children. There were women with no support of income. So the church said, "We're going to take care of that. We're going to take care of that." And so these guys were selling property they had. And Barnabas was one of those men. And was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by apostles was surnamed Barnabas, he had later traveled with Paul. Here is a good man, sold a piece of property, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, Sapphira and Ananias saw all this to do that was going on. They saw that people were giving up their money. They were giving up houses. And they had some. And so they wanted to get in on the act. "Why don't we do that, honey?" "Oh, okay, we'll do it. Well, we'll sell this place and we'll make a sacrifice." "Well, how much are we going to give?" "Well, we're going to give this much." Well, they sold it, and guess what? They got more than what they thought they would. Maybe it's going to give a third of it. Maybe it's going to give a tenth. I don't know. It didn't say. But they said, "Wait a minute. That's too big. That's too much." Child, listen to me. You cannot give too much to God. And to make a commitment and not fulfill it, it's dangerous. And you know what happened to him. Brought it in and gave it to Peter, James, and John, whoever was there. "Here's ours." "Well, is that what you promised?" "Yep, that's what we promised." Uh-oh. Someday we need to preach a sermon on the tongue. One of the worst pieces of flesh on your whole body is your tongue. Does you more damage. Bible says we can control ships in the ocean, horses with bits in their mouth, and turn a ship with their rudder, but no man can control his tongue. He says, like a fire from hell, but when it gets loosed and it's not controlled. And she fell over dead, just like that. That church was on fire. That church was being blessed. The first church after the Pentecost. They're not going to let anything disrupt it. Then her husband come bouncing in. My wife come in. Yeah, she come in. She said, did you sell the land for so much? Yeah, we sold it. Bam. Dead. Dead. Be careful what you say. Be careful of the commitments you make. Jesus sacrificed his life in Hebrews 10:10. Just think of that. I mean, we take it with granted. It's history. We repeat it. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. But think about it a minute. The dirty, rotten people that he died for, the one on the cross beside him. If you're really the Savior, why don't you save us and get us down off of this cross? You know, the problem is we look at the physical more than the spiritual in most things that we do. We take it from, what is this going to cost me? How will I look coming out of this? That's always our game. That's going to disrupt so-and-so. If God says do it, you better do it. If God says do it, you better do it. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We got salvation in Christ. You can't lose it. He cleaned us up. He keeps us clean in the presence of God. Satan delights running in to God and saying, look here what John Hodge did today. He says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They're covered up by the blood. I knew it. Jesus died for me and you. He's coming again one day. Think of the Father who gave him up. Think of God. You see, the whole Trinity's at work here. Think how God felt. Don't you think God got angry when that guy said that and wanted to come down and smite him on the cheek or something? But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved. God didn't just love. Listen to me. Love will help you do things that you can't otherwise do. Love will motivate you. Love brought our salvation. Some people think we're saved by our works. And if you don't work, then you lose your salvation. We're saved by love. Jesus didn't save us for what he could get out of us. He saved us for what he could give us. We can't give him anything. The only thing we got is this old wicked body. We give that to him, and he cleans it up, and then he has the right to use it if he wants to. He has the right to take us to Kentucky if he wants to. Don't run back and start jumping and say, oh, I'll go, if you don't really plan on doing it. Now, if something really providentially hinders you, of course, we understand that. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will never die. I read that psalm this morning. Blessed, happy are the saints that die in the Lord. Think of that. Of course we weep over our loved ones. I'm the oldest one left in my family now. My sister only passed away, 90 years old. She went to be with the Lord. I got Doug's gone, Lucille's gone, Ramona's gone, that was her. Dorothy already died, Robert had died, then there's me. Then I got Tom, he's next to me, still living. Then after Tom, there's Victor, he's dead. Then after Victor, there's Chris, he's living. Then my two club baby twins, Sam and Marge, you guys have met Marge. One, but my dad used to sing a song. I told you, we didn't have a radio in the beginning days. We'd get Dad and a guitar, and Mom, and then my sisters could play out in the yard. And one of the songs that he would sing before the night was over, we are going down the valley, one by one, one by one. So we have to be mindful of that. But we come and mourn over that body. But guess what? If they were saved, they're happier than they've ever been. Happy. You can't describe it with one word. What heaven will be like. Walls of jasper. Oh, the beautiful setting. But just to look upon His face, Jesus Christ, just to see Him in all of His glory, and the angels around, the river of life, the tree of life. My, oh my, what a day that will be. Let me ask you a closing question. Where is your sacrifice? 2 Chronicles 29:1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for a palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things that be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones of divers colors, means many different colors, and all manner of precious stone and marble stones in abundance, and getting ready to build the temple, making sacrifice. Where to come from? The people. They didn't do like some churches do today. Oh, let's have an ice cream sale, Passover, make some money so we can build. No. We reach down and give sacrifice in God's house. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. My, David wanted to build a house, but he couldn't because he was a man of war. His son had to it, but he could help provide for it. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to sing in a choir, but you can help provide. One last command God gives us. Think about it. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. When he was writing this, the nations was cheating on God. They weren't giving him all of it. They was giving him and the worst, as I said earlier, was going to die. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen to this promise that God says if we as a church just do all of our tithing, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. Wow. You can't beat that, folks. God said it. If we just do our part, he would pour out blessings so big we couldn't receive it. Where's your sacrifice? Where's your sacrifice? If we just bring the minimum, he'll bless us. And you know what he blessed us with? So we can do more and more and more for God. Because when you get 90, you're not going to have many years to spend it. What are you going to do? Leave it to the heathen? Leave it to the heathen? The kids to fight over? Leave it to God. Leave it to church and do it now before it's too late. Oh. Oh, where's your sacrifice? Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, thank you today that though we be perfect men and women, we be an unperfect church, we're not there yet. The devil's hit us with all kinds of things and he continues to fight us. He's fighting as we right here, right now and pray, fighting our people, fighting our homes. Oh God, help us to fight and stand and be committed for you. Use us. Lord, maybe you're speaking to some hearts right now about doing a commitment. They don't need to tell me or anybody else if that's not necessary. God, help them. Help them. And as Satan's spirits plunges in and says, oh, you can't afford that. Don't do that. What if the country goes broke? Oh, good. They're just tempting you. God, help us. God, help us. As the piano plays, the altar's open for any commitment you want to make to God. If you're not saved, you don't know what it means to be saved, come right now. We'll show you. Salvation is of the Lord. He believed. He believed. He believed. Believe and thou shalt be saved. Save your soul from hell if you're not saved. Come now, because one day it will be too late. They'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Take him away. I never knew you. What sad words. They had no room for him. One day he'll have no room for the world. Oh, think of those words. We're going to sing now. You still want to come? You come. That's what this altar's for. God bless you. Jesus, yes, he's the one.
times like these, oh, be good, Idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips of solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. Like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus.
Forget the offering at the door. It goes for the sacerdotes if you already gave, and you want to give more, or you can, you don't have to. But God bless you. I have a therapy appointment in Altoona on Tuesday for my swallowing, and Wednesday I go to the doctor, the chiropractor. Right now my shoulders feel like there's 1,000 fires sparking in there. But I got that Wednesday. And then Friday, I go down, I go look down my throat again and see what's going on. So it's going to be kind of a busy week. And every time they do that, I feel good for a day or two. But then I get 3 or 4 days or a week bad, so pray. I'm not asking for sympathy, I just ask for prayer. You know, when the people left, they taunted some of our people. What will you do for money? People leaving money. We haven't missed a beat. We've gained our financial fortune. We better be mindful of what we're doing with what God blessed us with and keep on. And we have people come. We need to be friendly. We need to keep visiting. And I'm doing all I can do. What's helping me with that? Pray for your church. Check your own life out. And if He's asking you to make some kind of sacrifice, do it. Don't wait. One day, those people will be gone. Thanks for coming to church. Be back tonight. God bless all of you. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer, please?